You're listening to The Owl.
Shh.
You're listening to The Owl on UCFM 87.8, live from Ngunnawal Country.
Hello and welcome back to Hear Owl About It. It is week 12 and we are on our second last episode. I'm Leela and today I'm joined by Hayden.
Hello.
And new to the show, Tia. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Tell me, what's been hooting this week?
Oh, I'm going to make a confession. I haven't done that much assignment work, even though they're all coming up, but I've staffed my safe with the free garlic bread, donuts, coffee over the past stress last week. Oh, it's been a handful.
The free stuff's been good.
Oh, it's so good. So much better when it's free.
100%.
T.I., how about you? Anything exciting happening?
Not much. I actually just thought of this, but at work today I had a customer come in who only spoke French, and I do not speak French. And she looked at me and she was like, "You speak French." I was like, "No, I don't." So we pulled out Google Translate and we spoke through Google Translate for like 10 minutes in the store about the shoes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did it all make sense or was there a bit?
Ooh, there were a few issues with the translation where I was like, I don't know what is going on here. But we figured it out in the end. She left happy and that's what matters.
Oh, so. That's good. These things, you know, it's the stories of
exactly.
life. You can start writing your memoirs now. So, team, second last episode today.
Mm.
What's happening next week?
I'm keen for next week. We've got a big live show at UC Bar X.
Yes, we do. Indeed. So, if you haven't reserved your seat yet, go now. We'll tell you about it a bit later as well.
Yes.
Get ready. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at UCFM_87.8 or The Owl_UC. And if you are listening on the radio and you have to leave, make sure to listen to us online at ucfm.com.au. Before we get into it, Hayden, you've got a sound for us, do you?
I do. I quite like this sound. It's a bit unusual. And it took no less than 5 minutes for me to find, and I was like, yep, this one's good.
And it will take us more than 5 minutes to figure it out.
Definitely. Oh, 100%.
100%.
Okay. Let's see how we go.
Oh.
Is that Ben talking to AI? That's what it sounds like.
Close, but not quite.
Could we hear it again?
It's like a robot of some sort.
I was going to say it's like a computer malfunctioning.
Oh, you're getting there. Oh. You're getting there.
Is it AI malfunctioning?
No.
Is it like the notification that comes up when something's like error?
Oh, I might give it to you. It
really?
It is. However, this sound has been edited with high and low frequencies and has also been reverbed.
Oh, there you go.
But it is a error sound for just a casual laptop that has just been edited.
Oh, that's cool.
Can you tell that I get those notifications a lot?
Well, that was really interesting. Thanks, Hayden.
Of course.
Let's get into it. First up, let's do crime. Hands up! Are you guys ready?
So ready.
So ready.
Okay. The world is falling apart. I'll just say that.
What else is new?
Question one. One of Canada's biggest heists has occurred at Toronto Pearson International Airport during the week. What happened?
There was a heist at the airport?
Say, yeah. Was it like...
go as bold as you'd like, Tia.
Was there like a drug bust? Did I read this or am I just...
There were many, but not at this airport.
Oh, okay. Hayden?
Hayden, guess?
I'm going to go on a limb here and they tried to steal an airplane.
Oh, that would be a good one, but no.
Ah.
So, 15 million in gold and other valuables vanished after an air cargo container went missing.
Huh.
An airplane that arrived at the bustling airport had been unloaded with its cargo transported to a holding facility, as it normally does. And then what happened to the precious cargo, no one knows. The shipping container...
It just disappeared.
We all know how big a shipping container is. Life size. went missing.
This kind of sounds like the Italian Job.
I know, right? No one knows what's happened and the police is now investigating it. And the total estimated worth of the container's contents is about, well, they say 15 million, but it's 14.8 in Australian dollars.
Someone better find that quickly.
I know.
How can you lose a big shipping container? There's many things you can lose, but
it's so bad. Question two. A burglar in the UK has been caught and sentenced after police found something of his at the burgled property. What did they find?
It wouldn't be saying like a fingernail or a blood sample, like a typical...
No.
Okay.
This is irritating. I definitely read about this and exactly what it is has just left my mind except for this, like the outside area of the story. I have no idea.
Go on a limb. Was it a vape?
Kind of close, but not really.
Because I think I've read that same story as well.
Maybe.
Oh, still at the toilet.
It was his medication box with his address on it.
Oh, no.
Someone did not think that through.
No.
Oh, wow.
So the perpetrator stole a bank card and hair straighteners, and in the process, he left his own medication box at the property, which made it quite easy for the police to track him down. He has been sentenced to 3 years in jail.
Wow.
There you go. What did he steal again? Hair straighteners?
Hair straighteners and a bank card.
Right. That's quite...
I mean, maybe the UK is a bit stricter on that. I don't know if you'll get that in the ACT.
Sure.
I don't know. But note to self, leave your medication box in the car or wherever else. Not in the house. Question three. An American woman was arrested at Sydney Airport this week after Border Force officers found a handgun in her luggage. What stood out about this handgun?
Oh, I did read this.
I did not read
this. Oh, no, I remember reading this. And I remember having a big laugh about it. I can't remember.
Was it, like, really nicely decorated or something?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was bedazzled, wasn't it?
You can say bedazzled.
Yeah? Wasn't it bedazzled and, like, they picked up the diamonds or something?
I'll kind of give you that.
Yes.
It is a 24-carat gold-plated handgun.
Oh, my.
Bedazzled in sure. Like, definitely. It's very expensive, I would say. Investigators charged the 28-year-old US citizen who had travelled to Sydney from Los Angeles, and they've charged her with violating an Australian customs law that prohibits items like weapons, radioactive substances, and counterfeit credit cards. She could get up to 10 years in prison if she's convicted, and she could face her visa being cancelled and removal from Australia.
Oh my goodness.
You wouldn't think that she's going to stay. They're not going to be like, 10 years, but you can keep your visa. Like,
and her gold gun. I don't know where that is now, but who knows?
Maybe it was taken by the airport thief.
Yes, it's with the shipping container. Have we ever thought about the possibility that the man with the medicine box is also involved with this?
Ooh.
Oh my goodness, did they find a medicine box in the cargo plant?
Don't know, but there's a good story forming here.
Oh.
Question four. On Wednesday, police found something at a soccer pitch in Adelaide. What did they find? Now, I know this is a very broad question.
Yeah.
So my hint is it's not sport related and it keeps something specific safe.
A safe?
Well, that's
of sorts, yes.
A safe of sorts. And they found it where, sorry?
A soccer pitch.
Was it just like sitting on top of the field?
Yes.
I'm picturing something. Picturing something like dead center in the field that's just been left there.
And it's not a safe, but it's a safe of sorts.
Yes. So you get money from it.
A wallet?
No, bit bigger. It's
bit
electronic.
Bigger.
Electronic. A vending machine. What's it called? An ATM.
Yeah.
Not a vending machine.
the kind of vending machine that you put money in to get money out.
That would be great.
That one. Yeah.
Money with interest.
A money vending machine.
That sounds like something Japan has to develop.
Yeah.
So it was an empty ATM. South Australia police were called to a reserve where they found, first of all, I don't know why they say it's a soccer pitch and then the reserve. But anyway, they found the ATM there and it's been forced open and naturally it's empty. Who's going to leave it full? It's under investigation now and it's kind of linked to a break-in that happened at a petrol station and a stolen car. So police are kind of connecting the dots.
Interesting.
Here. Wow.
Yes. Hey, good on you for trying to steal an ATM. Anyway.
And successfully.
And then ditching it in the middle of a soccer field as well and getting it away.
Can you imagine getting it out of the store, though? Like, where do you put it? In your car?
Just carry on and back. It's a weight day every day.
On your bicycle.
Yeah.
Put a little basket at the front. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, no. Question 5. An allegedly stolen vehicle in Melbourne had something inside it which the police are trying to find the original owner for. What did they find? Now, this is a sporting item.
Oh. Wasn't it like a memorabilia of sorts?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, goodness.
It's all on you, Hayden. I have no idea.
It can't be all on me now. You can't. You've got to have a guest here.
It's down Zach's alley as well. I can see he's thinking there in the corner.
A signed jumper.
It is signed, but it's not a jumper.
Is it
small?
Oh, is it baseball?
Is it actually?
Yes. Done, Tia.
Good guess. So it is a baseball signed by an Olympic athlete. The car had a number of stolen items in it, including this baseball, which has been signed by a number of people. One of the clearest signatures appears to be that of Scott, I think it's Dave's or Davies, I'm not sure, who represented Australia in baseball from 93 to 98, including at the Atlanta Olympics in 1996.
There you go.
Well done.
Yeah, so police said it's hard to determine how much the ball is actually worth, but it probably has a lot of sentimental value.
Oh, absolutely.
Someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope it finds its way home.
Definitely.
I'll be staying tuned on that story.
Let's hope they update it. But that was crime. Hands up!
What an interesting array of crime questions.
I try to keep it light and not, I mean, we do joke about the world's falling apart, but it actually is falling apart.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's look at the not so serious things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we shall listen to Cadbury by Parrots with Piercings.
And that was Cadbury. Up next, I think we have world news. All right, guys, we got some good questions here. We got some very good ones.
We're ready.
See if I can maintain this lucky streak.
All right, first things first. The US Coast Guard recently suspended a search for something important. What were they searching for?
Something important?
A human.
Yes, well done.
That's so... I love the way you phrase that.
Yeah, I tried so hard trying to find a different thing and
something important. That's hilarious.
But yeah, the US Coast Guard suspended a search for a Brisbane man who went overboard from a cruise ship off Hawaii last night. They halted the search for about after searching for about 2 hours. They halted it and they will return back tomorrow morning at 2 a.m.
What a really bad place to be in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
And the ocean is just like it's ocean and ocean and more ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
And then and on top of that, just a little bit more ocean as well.
Like, how scary. And it's in the dark. Today on the news, when they kept repeating the story, they're like, they're searching in the dark. I was like, oh, no.
This poor person.
And you don't know what's underneath you. There's like fish. No.
Mm-mm. I just want to know how he fell overboard. Like,
how
was he trying
happen?
To take a photo and just like toppled off? Or like...
Maybe a bit of... I don't know, do you call it turbulence? Water turbulence?
Sea turbulence?
Whoops.
Well, we hope we find him.
Whoopsie daisy, just kind of falling off this cruise ship.
Well, hopefully they find the important item.
I didn't want to give it away. Alrighty, question 2. Let's hope I phrase this one a bit better. A new video about a particular person who's been disappeared for about 3 months has resurfaced. Who is that person and where are they?
Is it an actor of some sort?
No.
Okay.
Oh, is it, is this like a recent thing?
This is a recent thing. So
the New Zealander guy?
Yes.
From like Papua New Guinea or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, that's it. That's it. Yes. So a West Papua Liberation Army released a new video on Wednesday showing the New Zealand pilot Philip Merritts.
Oh, yes.
Was still alive and well and being held hostage in Indonesia's remote Papua region.
I thought they let him go.
No. So they're actually, the rebel group has vowed to not release the pilot until Indonesia grants independence to Papua provinces, which makes up half of the western of New Guinea Island.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my.
So they've just got this random New Zealand pilot and they've gone, we'll hand him back, but we want, you know, we want independence. Yeah, we want a lot. Like, we want a
they
lot
They want a
things.
Lot more for what the pilot can give them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Glad he's safe and alive, though.
Yes.
Yeah, after 3 months of being disappeared.
Wow.
Or, like, not knowing
where. Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. Alrighty, question three. A special section of Scottish land is on the market, but getting there can be quite tricky. Can anyone tell me why?
Because it's Scotland. I don't know.
I can't. That's a bit broad. I don't know.
It's hilly.
Is it, like, private property? Well, I don't know why they'd be selling it.
No, it's public property. No one owns it at the moment, and it's on the market, but it's very difficult to get to.
Is it in a valley?
Nope.
Is it an island?
Yes. Oh. It is an island. As the name suggests, the special piece of land is known as Boloko Island and is currently listed as an available property. It has a small pebble beach, a superb view, and there is no inhabitants whatsoever.
I think I found my future home, just saying.
Yep.
Well, the only thing is that it can only be accessed by boat at high tide or by foot, tractor, or quad bike at low tide. This means that the owner will therefore have a 5-hour window to cross over to or from the island before the water rises too high if they do not have a boat.
So, okay, explain. First step. Is there enough of the island to not be underwater?
Yes.
So you can have a little yurt?
Yes.
Right. Second, what if your shopping takes too long and you're like 5 hours and 1 minute and then what then? You're stranded on Scotland's
yeah,
side.
That's it.
Oh, dear.
You have to swim across. Then you swim across with your groceries.
And your ice cream is melting. Like, what are you going to do? This just sounds like
I think that's too hard.
I won't do it. I can't do it anymore.
But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Do you know how much it's going for?
I believe they're actually selling it out for $280,000, I think.
What do they have in Scotland? Pounds?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Is that their money? Our money?
Because
$280
it's
our money is pretty cheap.
Well, my idea's back then if it's only $280. Yeah. It's the last time you guys ever hear.
Do a yurt on stilts with a breech.
Yes. But keep in mind that price is purely because of the fact that there is nothing on this island.
And they don't give
there's
you
no
a quad
wildlife.
Bike.
There's no nothing on this island and you have a 5-hour window to get to and from it.
And what do you do with your rubbish? Like there's no garbage truck coming past.
This is all for the new owner to decide.
What are we in? 21st century.
Yeah.
Problems. Problems. Just sounds like problems.
Righty. Question four. A Pennsylvanian man destroyed a Guinness World Record yesterday. What was the record?
Was it physical?
No. I'll give you a hint. This Pennsylvanian man is a known podcaster.
Did he speak for the longest time?
Well done.
Oh, go you.
Rob Oliver, a man paralyzed from the chest down since 1993, decided to start a podcast solely focused on the perspectives of healthcare in 2021. After scheduling subjects for about 15 minutes a slot, Oliver interviewed 137 people for a record-breaking 37 hours, 44 minutes, and 17 seconds.
Whoa.
Breaking the previous Guinness World Record by 8 hours.
Oh, gosh.
First of all, again, why is there a record for this? Aren't people sleeping or working or doing something else?
No, like, they're doing this, actually.
Dear. Okay. He's got... How did he maintain it for 37 hours?
So, he was allocated a 5-minute break after... Oh. Every,
5 minutes.
Hang on. He was allocated a 5-minute break after every interview, but he was also allowed to stack up these breaks, so he'd save up till he got to about 30 to 60 minutes worth of a break, and then he'd have that break.
That's clever.
I feel like that's a loophole there.
Yep. Definitely a loophole.
Yeah.
I think it's granted after 37 hours worth of interviews and podcasting.
And how many people was it?
137.
That's a lot of people.
Gosh.
And you have to keep sounding enthusiastically happy about what you're doing.
Can you imagine if you start out like this and by the end of it he was just like this.
And you're yawning.
And just kind of like dying inside. And, you know, we've got interviewee number 130.
You probably don't know this, but does he ask everyone's name? Because what if it's like Bob? Hello, Bob. And then Bob again. Hello, Bob. And then Bob again. Hello, Bob.
It was a fully fledged interview. Like, he introduced everyone, gave them names and contact lists.
On a specific topic.
On a specific topic, yes.
That would take a while.
Funny enough, it took 37 hours. Right, question five, last question. A huge step forward has been taken by the Barbie doll community. What is this step?
They've made a Barbie doll, I think, with Down syndrome?
Correct.
Aww. I saw it and I loved it.
Yeah. Toy manufacturer Mattel has unveiled an updated Barbie doll representing Down syndrome. The doll seeks to allow more children to see themselves in a popular figure. The doll features physical traits associated with the condition, such as a smaller nose, shorter limbs, and almond-shaped eyes. And they released this special doll as part of the Mattel's commitment in celebrating diversity and inclusivity.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I never really had Barbies, but...
Neither did I.
I feel I'm also a bit old for Barbies now. But anyway, besides the point, I feel it's really good that they are making it more inclusive.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Definitely, yeah.
And well done. That was world news. And good on Tia for getting, was it 4 out of 5? 5 out of 5?
I don't think I got all of them right.
I think you know. We'll just say,
yes, you did. Go Tia.
Yeah.
Well, that was really fun. Thanks,
Hayden.
Of
course.
Speaking of world news, we'll go to DMA's I Don't Need to Hide.
And that was DMA's I Do Not Need to Hide. Next, we have The Perch. And on The Perch this week, we have Ben Signor quizzed Pew Robson, Discipline Lead in Corporate and Public Comms. Let's have a listen.
All right, Prue, are you ready to face The Perch?
I am.
All right, here you go. Question number one. A report released this week revealed that retired US admirals are apparently doing what with their spare time? This just sort of came out today.
They were providing expertise on something, and I believe someone was getting paid $5,000 a day for their expertise.
I think
$7,000.
Yeah, so...
A lot. Yeah. A lot more than I get paid for my expertise.
I know, I think they did maybe up the teaching rates. Yeah. I
wonder if anyone else would like my expertise.
No, that is 100% correct, yep. $7,000 a day, some of them, for... just consulting like foreign governments. So it seems like a pretty good retirement gig, if you ask me. Question number two. Why were Canberrans looking up at 2:22 p.m. last Thursday?
Is that something to do with an eclipse?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Something to do with a partial eclipse? I remember my husband said something the other day about looking at it, and then someone smartly in the office did the piece of paper with the hole in it and how you're meant to look at it, apparently, because his whole office was just trying to look at it.
Yeah.
Apparently that's not what
you I was really upset because I missed it. So I was out of class and everything. I was like, 2:22, that's really easy to remember. And then I just didn't set an alarm and I didn't go outside and have a look. But apparently if you're in Perth, you got the whole, like, moon over the sun type thing. So it went dark, but here it was just a partial eclipse. So I think it looked a bit like a horseshoe or a slice of pizza being taken out of the sun. So yeah, got to see it. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't even know about it until after the fact.
So disappointing. It's like, oh, well, just wait for the next one. Question number three. Why was right-wing shock jock Tucker Carlson in the news?
He was fired.
Yes,
it was.
Three from three. Yeah, absolutely. So for a bonus, what sort of led to this? Oh, I guess, you know, you could say maybe led to this. What's been happening at Fox News recently?
I'm 100% sure what led to this particular instance. I know he's just been quite a controversial figure and had some...
Did you hear about the court case that Fox News are involved in? They got fined something like $800 million. They settled, for $800 million with the voting machine provider.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They were basically implying that it was true.
So they basically admitted to lying on purpose, and there was internal emails that showed that they were lying on purpose. And Tucker was one of those people that was basically saying, "Yeah, I don't believe what I'm even saying on air. I'm just saying it. You know, oh, this like privately behind the scenes, you're saying, oh, these people are full of crap."
Right, but this is controversial and clickbait.
Yeah, exactly. Like essentially saying, you know, we're not journalists. We just, you know, admitting what people have known about, not just Fox, but probably a lot of news organisations, sadly. But so he's now been, we don't know why, but they said they came to a mutual agreement, but right. The media reporting that he was fired from Fox News.
Was he one of those ones that was caught up in the Me Too things as well, or was that another Fox News presenter? Because I feel like
What specifically?
I don't know. I just remember when there was kind of those allegations around, sexual harassment and, you know, the treatment of women and things like that. There were some Fox News, like well-known Fox News people that I think were mentioned around that. Like,
probably, let's be honest. Because
the name sounded familiar to me and I was like, well, why does this name sound like, you know, not even a fan of Fox News yet. Why does his name sound familiar to me?
He's just really anti-government, anti-police, all those sorts of things. Says a lot of controversial social things, you know, was against the whole equality of marriage thing, I'm pretty sure, back in the day. It was against a lot of that sort of the stereotypical conservative social type of person. Anyway, he's no longer a Fox. I can't wait to see his next career move, actually. So he had really good ratings.
YouTube cloud?
Well, that's the thing. Like, he could really, like, it's not like he has no options. He's a really popular figure over there in the conservative side of political aisle, so... Can't wait to see what happens to Tucker Carlson next in his career. Question number four. Why was the... Oh, that's three from three, by the way. Killing it. Why was the British American Tobacco Company in trouble this week?
Oh, I do not know this one. I haven't seen this one.
So they were fined.
Yeah.
They were fined, actually, $635 million by... so essentially they were... breaking sanctions, so they were selling their products in North Korea.
Okay.
And you're not meant to be selling products in North Korea. So essentially, yeah, going against the imposed sanctions by the US government on North Korea, and the government found out about it, and they've been fined $635 million. And a spokesman came out and said they regretted the decision, which is probably not surprising.
Yeah.
Given that
they were found out.
They lost a lot of money. Oh, we really regret what we did on purpose.
So, interesting aside, I actually went for a job interview once with British American Tobacco.
Oh, really?
In their com team.
Oh, God.
And I did not actually want the job, but I wanted to see what the process was that they'd put people through to hire.
Oh, because you're a corporate comms person.
Yeah, I'm a corporate comms person.
Right.
And... I had watched...
You went undercover.
Like, not quite, but 2000, I think, is it the 2005 film, Thank You for Smoking? I don't know when it came out. It had kind of said, like, the three areas of, like, you know, being an absolute gun in my industry are, like, alcohol, tobacco, and guns.
Yeah.
In the US, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they call them the merchants of death.
Right.
And it was like, you can't use any of your traditional communication techniques. Like, most of them have been banned for those kind of companies. And so I was like, how do you do it? Like, what kind of stuff do you do? And how do they hire people? And it was so interesting. Like, it was like...
So what did you learn?
Multiple interviews, psychometric testing and all that. And then I pulled out because I was like, I don't really want this job. And I'd been offered another job. But I was like, this was a very... It was a very detailed process, and they did ask lots of questions about, you know.
What do you believe?
How do you feel working, you know, that kind of stuff.
And what did you say? Oh, you were like, it's fine.
I think I was like, free choice, free
win. Yeah, that's right. That's what you got to say, I suppose, in that situation. That's like, what don't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't exactly say you're a smoker, can you? It's like, oh, yeah, I smoke a pack a day.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
Like, look, but it was a very interesting process. I would never have... the job, and none of my referees wanted to be a referee for the job, which was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a different time, but still, I just actually wanted to know what they were hiring for, or what kind of, how the questions would differ for that compared to, you know, like any other
a normal job
for at the time.
Fascinating. That's awesome. All right, moving on to question number 5. What did the government announce about pharmacy prescriptions this week? The Australian government.
So I've not entirely sure what the announcement it was about, but is this about the availability of meds? I know the availability of meds has been in the news a little bit recently and how people are having trouble getting their prescriptions, and there was like 30% of meds are currently not available.
I think that was one of the, so like pharmacy groups complained about this announcement, and that was one of the complaints they made, is that this will just exacerbate, this announcement the government made will just exacerbate the availability issue.
Right.
Yeah, this, so this is, so basically half price on a bunch of, well, no, you so you'll pay the full price, but you get double the medicine, essentially.
Oh,
so you'll
right.
get a whole, I think it's 2 months worth instead of a month's worth of medicine on 300 of sort of the most common prescriptions for chronic illnesses.
Right.
So the idea is to, you know, like, and this makes complete sense to me. But again, pharmacy groups are really complaining about it. They're saying things like, oh, this will make it more likely that children will overdose on drugs, which is an interesting angle that I didn't expect.
Yeah, that's not logically where I go.
No, that's not what I said. It's like, well, maybe first solution is to, you know, if you're a good parent, that's where I went. I was like, well, you know, I think I'd probably keep them away from my daughter personally. That would be my move. I think it's, yeah. But yeah, so the idea is that you don't have to go to the pharmacy as much, which I think is a fantastic idea. So anyway, we'll see how it pans out, because yeah, there's been a bit of pushback. More than what would have been expected, considering, you know, it just seems to make it easier for consumers. Anyway, so that's 3 from 5. That's a pass. Good
okay,
work.
I'll take that.
You watched the news.
Look, I'm disappointed there was no questions about the Raiders, because Scott said, I asked you about the Raiders, and I was like, oh, I've got nothing on the Raiders. If you're going to ask me about the Raiders, I'm not going to be able
well,
to.
I can just make one up if you want. Do you want a bonus Raiders question? Who was the player that was just signed a contract with the Rabbitohs from the Raiders, despite the fact that the Raiders offered him something like $1.2 million a year for the next 5 years, and he signed for considerably less for the Rabbitohs?
I'm familiar with the story. I know the story. I know that it was to the Rabbitohs.
You know, there was a guy.
I know there were claims about racism around some of it too, I think.
Oh, okay. But, I know that angle, but yeah, fair enough. Yeah, possibly.
Whiten.
Yes. Oh, well done. You were ready. You were waiting for those Raiders questions, weren't you? Scott said, oh, he's going to ask you a Raiders question.
I've only seen it in the news. Yeah. Beyond that.
Smart way, right,
but not my angle.
Okay, fair enough. Well, good work. You got that right. So that's a good one. 66%. Very good. Well done. And just quickly before we finish up, how do you consume news? Because you obviously do consume some news, which is
So I would say mostly through ABC, like the
yes
webpage.
Yes,
you know, randomly when I've got a few minutes, and I've scrolled Facebook and Instagram, and there's nothing new left on those in those few minutes.
I love how you said ABC before you said the social media aspect of it.
I would say I do find out a fair bit of stories from social media, but they're often the very viral kind of clickbaity type stories.
Right.
Which I don't know that would have helped me today.
Yeah.
So usually just checking the ABC.
Do you see any parallels with your sort of news consumption, whether they be good or bad, parallels with the corporate and public comms that you specialize in?
So I think, you know, when you work in corporate and public comms, you do need to be up with the news. Like, you're already up, not in my role as an educator, but what I'm teaching is that you're going to be liaising with journalists and doing media relations.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we hear criticism all the time that people aren't reading the news. Is this really important? One of the things that I think still makes it really, really important is the legitimacy
yeah.
that journalists give to a story.
you know, yes, I could put my same story out on my social media or on my website or whatnot, but that's me saying something about me.
Yeah.
If a journalist investigates that story, does their research, you know, makes sense of the story and tells the narrative, that gives an organization story so much more legitimacy.
Yeah.
And credibility, and, you know, clients, providing it's a positive story, still get very excited and love to see themselves on front page news. Even though everyone's saying no one's reading these newspapers. So I think the challenge is the sense-making function that journalists do is still really important.
Yeah.
But how do you get people to pay for it? And yes. Who pays for it, I think, is the big question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then does who pays for it affect what's being produced?
And if that does affect what's being produced, do they lose that legitimacy and credibility, and therefore the equation is null all over again?
Yeah, yeah. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Prue Robson, for joining us on The Perch.
No,
you did fantastic.
Thanks for having me. I'll take my credit.
Oh, just you go brag to the rest of the faculty.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Cheers.
That was the discipline lead in corporate and public comms, Prue Robson, talking to Ben Signor. He's his usual fountain of knowledge.
Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Next, we've got Note to Self by Abby Christo.
That was Abby Christo's Note to Self. We were just talking about how much we were enjoying it. So hope you enjoyed it too. And no, we're now moving on to some general news. That's it. all right. So it's all actually Canberra news. So making it local, coming down to the small scale of Canberra. All right. Question one. A 52-year-old man from Chifley was issued a traffic infringement notice on Anzac Day for riding a motorcycle above the posted speed limit. How fast was he going?
Oh, I know it was almost double or more than double.
Yep.
But I don't know how much it was.
Wasn't it? It was above 100, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I remember it being like 120.
You're very close. 129.
Oh, I still get the toilet.
So he was going 129 kilometers per hour in a 60 kilometer zone.
Whoa.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
He was flying. Don't know where he was off to, but...
And he was on a motorcycle.
On a motorbike, yeah. So it was on Uriara Road in Denman Prospect. And the police were conducting speed enforcement activities and they caught him in the process.
Oh, my goodness.
Look, first of all, I totally get where he's coming from. That's a great area to go a bit faster because there's not a lot around.
Did we just catch Leela incriminating herself?
There's a hole that we've caught you. Get the police in.
FBI comes breaking in.
That'll be so the next question on crime next week.
Yes.
Who went to jail?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the police, like, what a random spot to pick.
He has a penalty of $1,841 and 12 demerit points, which means he's lost his license.
12
demerit points.
Yep.
Goodness.
So I use that as a warning.
Oh dear. Maybe he'll try his push bike next time.
Oh yeah, because it was wasn't it double demerits?
It was.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. All right. Question two. Solar lights are being installed across Canberra after a successful trial. What are these lights being installed in? And I can tell you now that it's not like on the roofs of houses.
Solar lights,
like solar power lights.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like, oh, are they on solar panels? No. Solar lights.
It's not in the houses?
No.
No.
It's not anything to do with the house.
Are they on the trees or like bushes near the houses?
No.
No.
Is it on the road?
No.
On the tram.
No. You're close with that one, though. They're being installed in 31 bus shelters across Canberra.
Oh,
I read this.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, so, yeah.
Yeah, in 2021, the government issued trial solar lights in 5 concrete bus shelters in Mitchell, and it clearly went well. So they're being installed in other shelters, including Amaroo, Charnwood, Dixon, Dunlop, Hackett, Cayley and Camper, Latham and Watson.
Oh. Where else?
I actually don't have that much more. The government says that they are to increase safety and improve well-being for users. So,
yeah, nice.
Because obviously it's pretty dark at night.
Another step forward for the iconic concrete bus stops.
Exactly.
Yeah, so make it look like an AI monster.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. What sound was that, sorry, Leela?
That's the mystery sound next week. All right, question three. As you may be aware, the ACT rolled out mobile phone detection cameras on the 14th of February this year.
Mm-hmm.
Around how many drivers are caught using their phones each day by each camera?
Ooh. Each day by each camera. Oh, it was a massive number, I remember.
293.
No. You're quite far off. You're way big. Higher, way bigger. It's much, lower. Much, much lower.
Lower?
Much lower.
Oh, never mind. Let's go.
Per camera, keeping in mind.
Per camera. What was your guess again?
293.
It's not
in the hundreds.
293. So let's go.
I appreciate the. I just think Canberra people are bad.
Yeah. Let's go for a solid 43.
That is actually correct.
Spot. Oh! Oh! What do you know?
Good guess.
But yeah, 43 drivers per camera per day on Canberra's roads. So the government says that almost 4,500 Canberrans have been caught driving while on their phones in the past month.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Come October, when the fines actually come out, people are exactly. going to be crying.
They really are. So they're only receiving warnings at the moment, which yes. I think is very odd that we're doing that until October.
Yeah, that's a very long grace period.
It is.
And then come October, everyone's going to try and get away with yeah. it. So come February, it's like, you know, anyway.
Yeah. All right, question four. Today saw the first day of a new mobile van led by a Canberra charity. What is the van for?
Led by a Canberra charity.
Yes.
Oh.
Hmm.
A mobile van. I have no clue. I didn't read on this at
Neither.
All.
Neither.
Well, it's only come out today, so I'll give you a
period. Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Any guess?
For a charity, let's go. Okay, you got a hint for us at all for what charity it is? I'll take that as a no.
I can say that it's a youth, like it's targeted towards youth. Youths.
And you ask what charity it's for?
No, what the van is for.
Oh, what the van is for.
No, no, it's not a PCYC, is it?
I don't know what that is.
Okay.
So no.
Okay, we'll take that as a no.
Is it for something for winter?
Not really.
No.
No, okay. It's
I'm getting tired of that toilet noise.
It is the first youth mobile health van.
Oh, I did read this actually.
Yeah,
yes. I didn't. Yeah. That's a good one.
So it's Anglicare, their ACT's Junction Youth Health Service, are operating the van, which has been funded by the ACT Health Directorate grant, making it free for customers.
Nice.
So currently it only has space for one person at a time, and it's going to travel to the outer suburbs of Canberra to help underprivileged youths between 12 and 25.
Nice.
So some good news, and it's including cool. things like vaccinations, STI checks, and cervical screening. So
very important.
All the things that people can't get to, and yeah. all those sort of things.
That yeah. is really cool. By the way, that's awesome. But we're gonna miss the fact that Leela and I just harmonized.
I know it was
a
actually really incredible. There,
that was
I
a thoroughly... pretty good.
That's the second option for the that's mystery
it.
Sound next week.
That's it, yes.
We're racking them up. All right, and the final question. This is a bit of an entertainment question. So Maddie, if you're listening, I'm very sorry for taking your theme, but I'm going to claim it as local news. Anyways, Groove in the Moo hit Canberra's Exhibition Park last Sunday, seeing large crowds swarming in to see artists like Denzel Curry, Ballpark Music, Ocean Alley, and The Skeggs. This is a bit of a two-part question.
Mm-hmm.
A surprise performer made an appearance at one of the shows. Who was the surprise performer, and whose set did they come out for?
I can't remember whose set it was, but it was the Pope's exorcist himself. That would be... oh my God, I've just lost his name. Oh no. Oh, I just completely lost his name.
I don't know the story at all. So.
Oh, he supports the Rabbitohs.
Oh, you see.
Oh my God.
Zach's losing his mind on the other side of the bench here.
I've just lost his name.
It begins with an R. And the last name is a bird.
Oh my goodness.
Magpie.
No.
Russell Crowe.
There you go.
There it is. Oh my goodness. I can't believe I literally had that name in my head. And I was like, the Pope's
pressure.
Exorcist, because he just released a movie called The Pope's Exorcist.
He himself, the human, was there.
He
yeah.
came out.
Yeah,
yeah,
he came out.
Oh, wow. In Amy Shark's set.
That's Amy Shark. So, yeah. That's right.
So he came out after Shark had been talking about how she had single-handedly got Blink-182 back together. and she said that Mark Hoppus couldn't come, but maybe someone else will. And then she started singing and he just walked out.
How random.
I know. I was in the crowd, and for half of the song, I was like, who is this man? Why does he look so familiar? And then halfway through, the crowd sort of went, that's Russell Crowe. And you can hear it in the videos on my phone. Everyone in the back is like, Russell Crowe, Russell Crowe. So it's just, I thought that was kind of crazy. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah, he came out in her song Psycho, which was pretty good, but you couldn't hear him. So You could just see him standing there. So, yeah, that was the last question of my set. Yeah.
Very good.
Gotta love that two time.
That's so funny. Well, that was good general news. I like it being local.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
You've been enlightened.
Well done,
about
Tia.
Your world enlightened with this knowledge.
Well done, Tia.
Definitely. We hope you will join us again.
Thank you. I hope I will too.
Well, let us know what you thought on our Instagram at UCFM_87.8 or @theowl_UC. There will be a replay from tonight's episode on Friday and Sunday afternoon, so have a listen if you missed it. And important, next week, last episode live, we will have our last show for the semester at the UC Bar X. The doors will open at 5:30 and we will be live on air from 6 p.m. It is free to attend and you can reserve your seat at go.theowluc.com/live. So make sure you do because it will be a hoot.
That's going to be a good show.
I'm looking forward to it. Just definitely imagine all the chaotic energy piled into one.
Yeah. Well, that's
Al from us.